Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Courtney Cronin in a building. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a jam-packed episode for you today. The odds are out on who's going to win Rookie of the Year on the offensive side, and Caleb Williams is leading the pack. What will it take for him to get that job done? And then a very special guest coming on, Mayor of Aurora, Richard Irving, will be joining us to talk about why the Chicago Bears should maybe look at Aurora as their next home. We'll talk about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, what's going on?
Not much. That's this part of the offseason. One more OTA and then everybody's done for a couple weeks. So a welcomed reprieve on its way.
When we get to talking about offensive rookie of the year odds well before anybody's taking a real snap, yeah, it tells you where we're really at in the season. But I mean, it is interesting kind of to look at, okay, the confidence that I guess Vegas is having around what Caleb Williams should be this season, because they believe that he is the clear-cut favorite right now to win offensive rookie of the year, plus 140. Next closest person is Jaden Daniels at plus 600. Marvin Harrison coming in plus 700. J.J. McCarthy begins the drop-off on that plus 1,200. Malik Nabers coming in behind him and Xavier Worthy. My question, though, not based on the odds, really, but what kind of season would we have to see out of Caleb Williams for him to secure that offensive rookie of the year? Would it have to be, hey, listen, like 4,000 yards, 25 plus touchdowns, you're the best quarterback Chicago's ever seen?
I mean, if he hits the totals that no quarterback in the city ever has, whether it is 4,000 yards passing, 30 passing touchdowns in a season, without question, I think he's your front runner, because like you're taking in like the historical context of him doing something at this position in this city for this franchise that's never been done. But if you're throwing for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns in a season, you're very likely on a winning team or a team that's going places, unless you're Justin Herbert during his rookie year. Obviously, you know, you take a look at the last two quarterbacks who have won offensive rookie of the year, because this has really felt the last 5-6 years, it's wide receiver or quarterback. I mean, the last running back that won it, so I'm looking at this list, was Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara had kind of the like resurgence for the running back position, because it hadn't been won by a running back since Eddie Lacy when he was with the Packers in 2013. This is Caleb Williams' award to lose at this point, because the others that you mentioned, Jaden Daniels is on a team that he's probably going to be running for his life for a big portion of the season, given the offensive line, given where Washington is and its rebuild, where this team is going. Probably not a playoff team this year. I don't believe you mentioned Drake May on the odds there, and that's probably for good reason, because he's on a team that's not very good. And then beyond that, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., what are the Cardinals this year? Are they ready to take the next step now that they have a healthy Kyler Murray, a bunch of pieces in place from the offensive line to the receiving core to help this offense take its next step? So much of this is based on what's around Caleb Williams in the projection of his numbers are going to be at this level, whatever that level is, based on who is going to be helping him get there effectively. So I don't know if I know like a statistical threshold that I want to put on it. Cause like Justin Herbert, like I mentioned, his rookie season, 31 passing touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 4,336 yards. And of course we know what CJ Stroud did last year, like numbers that we have not seen from a rookie quarterback in most categories ever. So if Caleb hits those figures, then yeah, he's a shoe-in for it. But as far as like placing what it has to be, like, does it have to trump somebody else? Not necessarily in the context of what it means for what the, like how far the Bears go with Caleb Williams in his rookie season.
It's so interesting when these numbers come out to me, because we always say, Vegas doesn't know what it's talking about, but Vegas seems to always be around kind of the right range when you look at things like this. Is this a confidence in Caleb Williams and what's been around him, but is this more of a confidence even that the Bears may have more success than people think this season, coming in where you've got all of the weapons, you just got to find a way to not screw it up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Vegas, anybody else who's like projecting the odds here, are looking at what's the next step for the Chicago Bears going from 7-10 to what? And you take a look at how the schedule breaks, and pretty favorable for Caleb Williams and this offense early on, weeks 1-10. And then, you know, the real hard work begins week 11 with division play 6 of your last 8 weeks. But I would be hard pressed to believe that anybody who's projecting Caleb Williams to win this award is not doing so expecting him to be on a team that's going to the playoffs. Likely, if they make it there, it would be as a wild card, but you typically don't see players like, you know, get this award. I mean, obviously Garrett Wilson and the Jets, but like, again, factor in what were the other rookies doing that year? Like, this is a pretty loaded rookie class this year from the wide receiver position to the quarterback position. There are, you know, 5 quarterbacks taken, 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round this year. Like, there's going to be competition that you didn't see necessarily in other years where, like, the jockeying for positioning among the rookies was, you know, at a much more stagnant, they're much lesser pace. But I can't see how anybody would look at this and say, all right, like, the odds and what you're talking about, like, plus 120 for him?
Plus 140 for Caleb.
Plus 140, and then the next best is, like, plus 600. If you are taking that big of a stance on Caleb as the odds-on favorite, you're doing it because you believe that he's not only the answer here, but leading the team to the playoffs his first year, which, of course, is a huge accomplishment, and that probably would be worthy of AP Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. I think you made a great point there, because what's funny is when you look it up on – like if you just Google Offensive Rookie of the Year, it shows you the winners and the nominees. And there's some years where it just doesn't show anybody except the winner. And the best part about that is it tells you kind of what the competition was. I do think there is more competition this year, but you look at like last year, right? CJ Stroud, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Puka Nacua, all guys who, maybe I think CJ Stroud kind of ran away with that award, but you can make an argument for every one of those other guys. I think that will be this season. And so the biggest thing for me that Caleb needs to do to secure the award, these first, what is it, 9 games or so, you get to face a lot of the guys that are on this list. You get to go up head up against a lot of the quarterbacks and wide receivers that are on this list. Coming out of those games with a above 500, and I guess in best case scenario, maybe a well above 500 record, I think that would solidify you. Now, you do got to play the division. You still have to be successful there, but when you sit there and look at how many times a guy's going to have the opportunity to go head-to-head against almost all of the competition that you want to see him go up against, he's in a very, very good situation here coming in to start.
Top three quarterbacks are all going to face each other within the first 10 weeks of the season. He gets to see Marvin Harrison Jr. fairly early on as well. And of course, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, especially like a receiver versus a quarterback, but how he performs in those games, like when you're trying to find the, you know, what may end up tipping the scale in the favor of one player over another, you're going to look at the head-to-head matchups and see how guys did in those games. But this, you know, this speaks to the, you know, what he's set up to do here. And we mentioned how many young quarterbacks, not just rookies that he's going to face, but a lot of year two quarterbacks from Will Levis to Anthony Richardson. Of course, he's going to see CJ Stroud in week 3. Can you imagine, or it was week 2, whichever game, the whenever the Sunday night game is in Houston, I get that confused with Indy all the time because I know they're like
Houston's week 2.
So if he comes out strong and he you know, the Bears win, they beat Tennessee at home, they go into Houston and they somehow upset the Houston Texans and the reigning rookie of the year, like that's a narrative carrier that goes from like week 2 probably all the way through the season, because that's going to mean more eyeballs, more attention from the people who are voting on this award on someone like Caleb Williams. If he starts off his NFL career on a tear, which that would be if that ends up happening that way. And that's like, these awards are a big deal and they mean something, but in the grand scheme of things, if he's able to do that, the Bears are feeling pretty good that the jump that they're making in year 3 is sustainable and that it wouldn't just be like an early season blip on the radar.
Is that Houston game one that you think is probably one of the most important games for Ryan Poles, seeing as how like I could have went and got, they weren't looking, but I could have went and got my quarterback last year and CJ Stroud, who was able to overcome everything that maybe we had last season, and he was able to go out there and be successful. You think that Houston game is probably one of the bigger ones on the schedule early on?
And for a lot of reasons. And of course, it was, whether the Bears view it like that or not, perception's always going to be that CJ Stroud, how he does, is your measuring stick based on how you do as a team, because they could have had him if they wanted him. Yeah, you're right, Pat. Like, they didn't, they weren't looking. Like, they did their homework. They said that they were not going to go draft a quarterback in 2023. It's not that CJ Stroud is viewed as the one who got away, but you never want him to get in that category where he is the one that got away, because you want to be happy with your option that you have at the position. And for Caleb Williams, somebody who threw 10 interceptions in 2 years, in his last 2 years of college, like, he didn't turn the ball over much. Like, having those attributes that made him the consensus number one overall pick, the Heisman Trophy, the 72 touchdowns in the last two seasons, the interception numbers, the just lack of turnovers, seeing that continue in the NFL from, like, the very jump, where all of a sudden his game just doesn't change because he's, like, you know, not adjusting to the speed of the game. Like, how... I wouldn't say CJ Stroud's transition to the NFL was seamless. I don't think that's fair, because I think everybody goes through the ups and downs. But if Caleb can mirror kind of what CJ did in those early games as he was getting his footing, to the point where he was ready to take over games by week 9 or 10 of the season, that's going to be a really good spot for this team to be in, knowing that they made the right decision in sticking with their plan and going to get Caleb Williams this year. And, you know, I think we're always going to view CJ Stroud through that lens and what he could have been here, but also then, like, the Bears being confident in who they have instead and the decision that they made.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting, because I love how you said it, right? Like, CJ Stroud definitely went through his ups and downs last year, but the team that he had allowed him to hide some of the downs, because in those down moments, they were able to pick up the slack.
A team that was less touted than what the Bears have, like, certainly not. Like, nobody was calling Houston's defense last year, projecting it to be a top five defense the way that we've heard repeatedly about the Bears defense throughout this offseason.
This is facts. This is facts. And boy, did they add this off season. Let us know you guys' thoughts, man, in the comments below. Do you feel like Caleb is going to run away with this award? Is he the clear cut favorite like Vegas is predicting? Or do you feel like there may be, you know, maybe pump the brakes? There may be a little bit more to that. Let us know in the comments below. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for showing love. We now want to welcome in to the podcast very special guest who is looking to do something special in his city. The mayor of Aurora, Richard Irving, is joining us to talk about the Chicago Bears possibly moving their focus to Aurora to try and build a stadium there. Mayor, what's going on? How are you feeling today?
I'm all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate you coming on and talking with us about this, because this is very interesting, because we've seen the Bears seem to be locked into being on the lakefront in the city of Chicago, or worst case scenario, they're the biggest landowner in Arlington Heights. Explain to us, what does Aurora offer that could change their focus on where they should build their stadium?
First of all, Aurora is the second largest city in the state of Illinois. We call ourselves the City of Lights, and we would love to be the new home of the Chicago Bears. You know, we offer something that other cities don't have. Now, listen, I understand Chicago would prefer to be in the city. They're the Chicago Bears. But there are going to be a number of obstacles for them being on the lakefront, you know, and dealing with both state government, city government, and park district government. You know, obstacles that may take a year to 2 years for them to overcome. Those obstacles won't be the same in Aurora. You know, there's political will to make things happen in Aurora and to get things done. We just did it with the $360 million casino deal that we just closed with Penn Gaming, and now they're doing the building out here. We're used to, you know, working with large corporations like that to get the job done. We first brought the idea to Penn Gaming to, you know, relocate and build a Hollywood Casino Resort, the largest in the state of Illinois. And largest outside of Vegas, in the city of Aurora, right across the street from the outlet mall that attracts 8 million people. They looked at us like you know, we had a third eye on our head. But eventually we convinced them that they'd be able to make more money and they'd have more of a profit and increase their profit threefold. And they agreed, and now they're doing it. We believe if we bring, you know, the Bears out. We are in the location, the perfect location for it. We have easy access to the city of Aurora, I-8, you know, access, I-355, and then I-55 from the south. We're in a more central location in the state. So not only we get folks from Chicago that will travel out to Aurora, only about 40 minutes away, whether it be on the expressway or on the train that stops, and starts between the city of Aurora and Chicago, you know, or they decide that, you know, come some other way. We know we have the access, and we'll give them the ability to, you know, have a great experience. And we have a number of large properties, not as large as Arlington Heights, but large properties where we recreate not just the stadium, but an entertainment district around the stadium. So the fans will get a full experience when they come to a Bears game. We're ready to roll here in the city of Aurora.
Richard, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't last offseason or last summer, there were a lot of cities that were reaching out to the Chicago Bears in hopes of shifting their attention away, at least at that time, from Arlington Heights. I believe Aurora was in the mix in 2023, throwing its name in the hat. Did you get any sort of reception from the team? Were there any meetings with Kevin Warren or any other team personnel? How far did it get your first time doing this?
Absolutely, we're high up in the mix, and we've had numerous meetings, a number of meetings, where we had them even come out to the city of Aurora and check out our city and the potential sites to relocate. The issue that they had in Arlington Heights, where they bought that property, was they couldn't come to a negotiation with the school district and the county, Cook County Assessor. And they got this huge, humongous bill, you know, without even building anything. So, you know, when they actually build the entertainment district and the dome, you know, those taxes are going to go up substantially. We don't have that same problem. As a matter of fact, when we met with the Bears, you know, we brought our assessor in as a partner and told them that, you know, we recognize it's going to be a privately owned stadium outside of Chicago. In Chicago, it'll be publicly owned by the Park District. If it's outside of Chicago, it'll be owned by the Bears. But we are going to treat them fairly with the tax assessment. And they'd be part of the process the whole way. And it wouldn't be an immediate $125 million bill they'd get like in Chicago. You know, we would assess it over time, you know, as they build over the next 3 to 4 years.
Mayor Richard Irving joining Pat the Designer Courtney Cronin here on the Chicago Bears podcast, ESPN Chicago. Mr. Mayor, we read in the Tribune article that was put out that kind of started all of this, that instead of arguing finances with the Bears, that you're ready to simply kind of welcome them in. But we do know, right, that the finances do have to play a part in it. What kind of partnership would you be looking to propose to Kevin Warren and the Chicago Bears that could get this deal done quicker than them dealing with city officials or state officials with the state of Illinois or city officials out in Aurora?
Well, we'll do exactly what we did with Penn Gaming when they, you know, are building this $360 million casino resort in the city of Aurora. You know, we recognize that when the Bears come to town, they bring a lot with them. They're going to be new hotels, new restaurants. They're going to be there's going to be building for the next 3 to 4 years in jobs. And we know it's going to create a tax base. So we wouldn't have a problem sharing a lot of those taxes with them as part of an incentive. Matter of fact, those taxes wouldn't be here but for the Bears. So recognizing there's going to be a couple billion-dollar deal, you know, that will, you know, take about 4 years to build, we will share those taxes and make sure that they are able to pay off any bonds, you know, that they take to build this stadium. So we don't believe there's going to be a problem with making sure we do what's fair to the Bears and be able to afford the stadium.
Tax wise, when you brought up what happened in Arlington Heights and what created this impasse between the Bears and being able to build in the place where they own a property they paid $197 million for, a lot of it was due to the school, like the school districts, the taxes that came to an impasse. Like, I understand that's a Cook County thing. And that's something that's, you know, regardless of whether it's the Bears or any other team, because of what this, you know, if we're keeping it a buck, it's Cook County. That's all you need to say in terms of knowing exactly how complicated things are going to be there. Why is it different in DuPage and Kane County, where Aurora is located, in terms of why those same tax issues with the school district and anything surrounding the stadium and entertainment district, why those would not be the same issues for the Bears?
Well, we have 6 different school districts in the city of Aurora. And what we've done since my administration started 7 years ago is we bring the school districts in as partners when we do development. We recognize school districts, you know, function in Illinois off property taxes. So whenever we do a new development, especially ones that generate children, because that's what they're concerned about. How do we pay for kids in school sitting in those seats? When they generate children, which the Bears development would probably not generate any children at all, we still bring them in as a partner and say, this is what we're willing to share with the school districts to ensure that you've got the monies you need to educate your kids, as well as to treat our new family members, the Chicago Bears, treat them well, as you know, because look, we're going to have, as I said, hotel taxes. We're going to have food and beverage taxes. We're going to have new property taxes. So all of that can be shared and spread among all the taxing bodies, whether it be the school districts, the park districts, you know, the counties, to make sure everybody is treated fair and equitably. And we don't take advantage of the fact that, you know, the Chicago Bears are coming to town, which I believe is what happened in Cook County. And look, a lot of folks are going to say Aurora is too far. And I say far from what? We're in Chicagoland area. There are a number of NFL teams that aren't actually inside the city they're named after. And we fall right in that sweet spot of many other teams that actually are outside of the named city. So, you know, you can get to city of Aurora about 40, 45 minutes on train, 45 minutes by car. And we have an airport. So on game day, when the teams want to fly into the city of Aurora, they can fly into the Aurora airport and be anywhere in Aurora within 15 to 20 minutes. So we got planes, trains, we got everything you need and location for to be a successful place for the successful home for the city of the Chicago Bears.
Planes, trains, and automobiles. I love that. In the Tribune article, Mr. Mayor, that it stated that you're not just putting your name out there, right? Like Courtney brought out, there's a lot of cities that threw their name out there so that they could hear their names get put on Channel 7 News, basically. And it was, oh, Waukegan was mentioned or whatever the city was, right? But it seems that you're 100% serious about bringing this Chicago Bears team in. Have you restarted those preliminary talks that you had early on with Kevin Warren, or are you expecting those conversations with Kevin Warren to start anytime soon?
Man, we are 110% ready, you know, and willing and able to bring the Bears home to Aurora. And yes, I've, you know, had a number of meetings with Kevin Warren and his team. And I'd like to continue those meetings. And as I said, I understand why they shifted gears and decided they want to stay in Chicago on the lakefront. But if that does not work out, if there are too many Bears, and if it takes way too long, we are ready and willing and able in Aurora to get the job done right now.
And I assume they still want to build a dome stadium. And you brought up earlier a selling point for Aurora versus the city of Chicago is that the Bears get to own this stadium versus it being a publicly owned building and, you know, structure and everything around it. Do we know cost wise, like would this be a less expensive project that the Bears could get done in a quicker amount of time to, I know Kevin Warren said shovel goes in the ground. It's a 36 month process. Financially, is it a better option than others for the Chicago Bears to consider in terms of a cost effectiveness?
Absolutely, because, you know, they're in building in a park district and having it be owned by the government, you know, the taxpayers have to put up that money to afford paying for that new built dome stadium. You come out to Aurora, not only will the property be a whole lot less expensive than the city of Chicago. Matter of fact, it'll probably be a third of what they'd pay in taxes if they were to go to Arlington Heights. Not only, you know, the property cheaper, we'll be able to move things a lot longer without the red tape that you'll get having to deal with so many government agencies that don't have relationships like we have relationships in Aurora with all of our government agencies. You know, as I said, you know, I think we're willing, ready, and able to get it done. We've got everything that they need. All of our partners are on board, and even brought our assessor on board up front as one of the main partners to give the Bears the understanding that we're going to treat them fairly and there will be no surprises like that, like what happened in Cook County. And we're, you know, ready to get the job done for them. There's political will here in Aurora, and I will personally, as mayor, walk this through every process to make sure that this works smoothly.
Mayor Richard Irving joining us. We're going to let you go on this one, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us about this. And it'll be very interesting to see if the Chicago Bears actually do shift their focus to Aurora. The two biggest questions that I think fans of the Bears, and you being a Bears fan, you probably ask some of these questions yourself, are literally asking right now is, are we going to get a bigger stadium? Would Aurora be able to support that? And the biggest question, where are these people going to park? Do you have parking lots available for the fans of the Chicago Bears to be near a stadium?
Absolutely. Not only that, man, come on, we've all been to Bears games, man. It takes about 2 hours if you drive your car just to find parking and, you know, get in and find your seat. You know, in Aurora, we've worked out a parking program all around where the stadium would be, whether it be on either piece of property that we have, we're considering, where there'd be parking right on site and very close. And those parking, those folks that take the train in, we've already talked about having commuter rail or buses take them from the train 5 to 10 minutes, you know, to where the stadium might be. So we've got everything covered: parking, you know, transportation, everything you need to make, you know, to have a great game day and to give our fans, Chicago fans, a fun family experience.
Mr. Mayor, we appreciate you coming on. Mayor Richard Irvin, Mayor of Aurora. If anything does happen down the road, please feel free to contact us, come back on, and we can continue this conversation on the Chicago Bears possibly being in Aurora.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming through. Mayor Richard Irvin, everybody. I mean, I thought that was some really good insight, and it seems like I think this is the biggest thing. They're serious about it. There's so many cities that put their name out there, right? Like, we were getting cities out in, like, just outside of Indiana throwing names in there pretty much, and it's like the Bears aren't moving there, but this being a serious bid by Aurora, I'd be very interested to see if they could shift the Bears' focus.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to have to shift the Bears' focus away from where they currently own that property of land as well. Like, you know, I know that they believe that if, you know, their goal still is, until they say differently, to be on the lakefront, and that ultimately they would end up selling the property in Arlington Heights. They're not land developers. They have never once claimed to be. But If the city falls through, and what we still have heard from the governor of Illinois is that it's a non-starter, the proposal right now that's requesting and requiring more than $2 billion in taxpayer funds, you know, they've got to have more than just an idea. Like, a lot of the things that he said there are great in theory, but how are you going to make that a practical application to a team that's right now sitting on a $197 million investment that's gone nowhere? A team that is not just invested money, but like time and equity into trying to get this project through. And as Karen Murphy, who's, you know, was at the, you know, the day that they did their big city press conference on the lakefront to say, hey, we're staying here, we want to build south of Soldier Field, it goes from $100 to $150 million a year extra to not have a stadium built. Like, every year it becomes more expensive. So if the Bears are serious about trying to get this done, and if they're trying to pivot course, if they do not feel that Arlington Heights would be a good second option, considering they own land there, you know, a place like Aurora is smart to at least get their name out in front at a time where nobody else is really doing it right now. Of course, June last year was when everything fell through, so we'll see if more cities decide they want to throw their name in the hat. But this song and dance is getting exhausting. Like, we've done this now for 2 years, ever since they closed on the land and the sale became official. Like, we've done this for a while. Like, it would be nice to get some sort of action. But again, like, we live in, like, be honest with yourself, we live in Illinois. This is an incredibly politically divisive state where, like, things don't move very quickly. And if you're asking for taxpayer dollars, and if you're asking for the city of Chicago and the state to help your funding of whatever project you're working on in a massive scale one like this, it's going to take a long time, probably longer than the Bears want to dedicate to it. But eventually something's got to happen if we ever think that we're going to be seeing this stadium in this decade.
And that's the thing. I think that's what's very interesting about it. I wonder if that caught Kevin Warren maybe a little bit off guard, even that, you know, Minneapolis and Minnesota probably work very well together, where the city of Chicago and Illinois are usually at odds with each other. So I wonder if maybe, like, you know, when you're trying to get a deal done, if it does come to every year we're losing massive amounts of money on this stadium. Yeah, we've got the land over here that we can do something with, but they're ready to have a stadium go up. You know what I mean? So that'll be very interesting to see. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Appreciate Mayor Irvin coming on and taking the time out to kind of explain his point and why Aurora is a great city to build in. And I tell you right now, Courtney, if the Bears don't move there, I might. Like I didn't know everything Aurora had going on. I'm not going to lie to you. I might mess with Aurora, see what's going on out there. But let's finish it off here. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Yesterday, we got the confirmation that Mercedes Lewis signed with the Chicago Bears. We had heard that he had intended to. We got that done finally. What does that mean for the Bears? Why bring back a guy who, yes, really good run blocker, but plays 29% of the snaps? Is he kind of the player coach that the Chicago Bears need to kind of bridge the worlds between players and the coaches?
I mean, he's 40 years old. He just turned 40 in May, and this is somebody who, like, God, I remember the interview that Joniak did with him on the pod, like it was like, I want to say like December on Chicago Bears Weekly. And the amount of time Mercedes Lewis spends on his body, like just being able to function at this level, which is an NFL player, whether you're a rookie and have the stamina of a 22-year-old or you're 40 years old, like him, it requires an amount of, you know, equity you're pouring into yourself, which, like, to hear him and his detailed off-season routine, how he's spending like 12 plus hours a day just on like the working out, conditioning, rehab part. There was no doubt in my mind that he wanted to play one more season. I had a conversation with him ahead of, like, during locker cleanout day, and we talked about the exit interview and all those things. And I kind of got the vibe then. And yes, Luke Getsy was still on the staff. Luke Getsy was instrumental in bringing Mercedes from Green Bay to Chicago and signing as a free agent last year. But even with Getsy gone, and we kind of knew in January that was at the time was going to happen, I still got the vibe from people inside the building that they love Mercedes Lewis. They love what he stands for. They love his leadership. And that's important because you still have a young team. It was important last year for what this roster was and for Justin Fields. Can you imagine how much more important that's going to be for someone like Caleb Williams, who is this sponge right now, trying to take it all in, trying to learn how he can eventually be a Mercedes Lewis type, if, you know, God willing, his health and everything else, and, you know, his success throughout his career lets him get to that point. But you just can't overstate how important it is to have the luxury of having someone like that in the room, in the meeting rooms, part of your offense, able to maybe not have the biggest role. Certainly, I mean, he was in 17 games last year. He started 4. He had the one touchdown against Arizona, and everybody rallied around him for that. He's not going to be the version of himself that he was in Jacksonville. No one's expecting him to be, but the intangible stuff that he provides this team from a leadership perspective, you can't buy that anywhere. You can't necessarily just like go on the street and go find some free agent that's out there right now and say, hey, come here and like fill that role that Mercedes had. No. And I think for the Bears too, they want to do right by him. If he wants to retire, you know, he's played the longest of any tight end in the NFL. He broke a tie last year. I think it was with Jason Witten. It was at 18. So Mercedes playing 18, or I think theirs was 17.
Him and Tony Gonzalez.
Those two were at 17. So last year broke the tie. So Mercedes played 17. He played 18 last year. So now he's 19 years into this. It's what a great way for him to end his career if this ultimately is the last, you know, last team, last stop. Who knows with him? He may play beyond that. I mean, the guy's a physical specimen. He's been playing.
Gotta go for 20 if you don't get hurt.
Shoot, right? Like he's been
gotta go for
playing. 20. I was in high school when he was drafted in 2006. That's wild to me. But no, I mean, it's a huge asset. It may not give you, I mean, no one's expecting, like, especially with what that tight end room now it like is with Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, much different than Cole Kmet and Robert Tonyan, who really didn't have much of a role here in this offense. But for Mercedes to be in there, it helps the position room, it helps the offense, it helps the quarterback. He's somebody who's literally seen everything over 19 seasons. I can only imagine the stories that he would have to share with his team and what that would mean for the young players who are just coming into the league to be able to soak up and learn, use that experience to help their own path.
I think it's so great to me that Ryan Poles is saying we've got this influx of young. I mean, you still got a lot of young dudes on this team. We have to have veteran leadership, because how many teams do we see where they go, we're building young, we're doing everything young, and then it takes these guys 4 or 5 years to kind of figure it out because nobody's got the experience on the team to kind of tell you the ropes, to show you the ropes that you need to be doing, you got to figure those things out on your own. Mercedes Lewis has played 19 seasons. At a minimum, him being able to say, okay, this is how my body is held up over this amount of time. This is the work that I had to put in. This is how hard I had to do this. And 19 seasons is nothing to scoff at all. No. And the fact that he's done most of that relatively healthy. I mean, I'm sure he's been banged up, nicked up here and there and stuff like that, but like, he hasn't missed major time throughout his career. Just having somebody in the room like that, I think really it changes the way you attack your workouts and different things like that to keep yourself healthy on the field. And I love that.
No, absolutely. There's something about like being able to lead by example. And then for those who are following and learning how to become leaders, to literally have the visual representation every single day of this is how Mercedes Lewis takes care of his body. I remember talking with players last year just about what is it like seeing, they all call him Big Dog. Like, what is it like seeing Big Dog in his process of getting ready for games, getting ready for practices? Because he's never in the locker room when we're in there after practice because he's in treatment. He takes it so seriously, and that's something that if you're building a program the way that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are attempting to have those sorts of people around, just kind of like a Ryan Griffin too for the quarterback room as an offensive assistant who's working with the quarterbacks. Yeah. More experience, more knowledge is never a bad thing, and I think you get that and then some in Mercedes.
Oh yeah. You get so much from Mercedes Lewis. Glad to have him back on the team. It's weird. Like, normally these signings, you're like, oh, okay, so he signed somebody. Mm-hmm. I was actually a little excited about it. I was like, good. We got Big Dog back in the building, man. Let us know you guys' thoughts in the comments below on Mercedes Lewis, on the Chicago Bears maybe shifting their focuses to Aurora, if that were something that were to come through. And, of course, the odds that Caleb Williams will be the odds-on favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. One love. Bear down. Peace.